May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to dim thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. 302.
holy word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and we'll begin to read at verse 27. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and to begin to read at verse 27. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the deserts. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live for ever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us pray. Most holy and most blessed God, we do bow before thy great majesty thou, and plead thy all-prevailing name, Lord Jesus, as we approach unto thee, I am that I am. Oh, do send the Holy Ghost to us this evening, we beg, that there may be that peculiar due and unction with the word, some divine authority. There may be the living water. There may be that healing virtue felt in the souls of the weary and the distressed and the confused and the helpless and the condemned. Almighty God, we bow before thee now. Hallowed be thy great name. Oh, we pray truly from our hearts, thy kingdom come. Oh, come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Oh, may we ever be freed from empty notion, Lord. Oh, do grant that we might know that divine contact at the throne of grace from time to time. We're wanderers. We're weary of ourselves. We're brimful of sin and unbelief. Oh, how the poet didn't exaggerate when he said, nothing but a sink of sin and unbelief. But as we now draw near and turn into the house of prayer this evening from the busy scenes of life, oh Lord, we pray that we may receive from thy good and gracious hand. Speak the healing word. Oh, thou indeed, thou art that everlasting light. Shine, all the poet says, burst through the clouds, thou source of light. Oh, we do pray indeed, thou turn our darkness into night. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt speak the healing word, and that there may be a real dropping down of the heavens into our hearts. Lord, we have a long, long eternity before us. We must all go to our long home, sooner or later, and even the youngest, oh, what is 80, 90, 100 years, but the twinkling of an eye compared with the eternal ages which never end. Oh, we pray that we may hear the shepherd's voice while we live here. Lay thy gracious hand upon us. Oh, we pray that thou draw us to thy feet and come and save us and do us good and make thyself known to us. Lord, we indeed need much saving. We're poor men. Oh, we are so full of sin day by day, weary of ourselves. But what a mercy we can say, like the Greeks of old, sir, we would see Jesus. Ah, I bet it says he would see Jesus every day, walking the gospel way. Oh, may we be among that people that seek that better country. Call upon thy precious name. Oh, thy name is an all-prevailing name. Oh, make us those humble believers, those truth-seeking souls. Lord, give us those humble, broken, contrite spirits. Mercy, a little softening, real softening, from time to time, but Lord, we seem to get so hard again. We live to prove that no man can keep alive his own soul. Yet thy living family know how far off they are at times. They mourn, they weep, they grieve. Oh, we have to keep making the same confessions day by day and year by year. Oh Lord, we come into another year in thy tender mercies. We're the same old sinner, haven't changed in our nature since last year or 10 years ago or since we were born. In fact, we seem to get worse as far as we're able to view ourselves. Oh, but Lord, keep us at thy feet. Keep us in need. Keep us in prayer. Lord, oh, do breathe that life everlasting more and more into our souls. We do like that word, that is, speak, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Oh, that suits us, Lord. Yes, that has come to give life, but that is saying more abundantly. That's just what we need, the abundance of it, Lord. We feel our great need of thy long-suffering mercies to be upon us still as we come into this year. What a mercy thou changest not. Thou art nothing without full of forbearance and loving kindness and mercy to us unfaithful, the sons of men. How we wander. But we plead that truth, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Bless us tonight. Meet with us. O Lord, we do pray that we may be favoured to truly touch the hem of thy garment by faith. As the heartache among us, the soul trouble, the desperation, oh, the anguish of heart. Oh Lord, then do hear the prayers of the destitute, their cries. Lord, thou hast come to seek and to save that which was lost. Therefore, bless sinners. Feed our souls. Now, Lord, bless this people. Grant them thy spirit. Make one in them is continually. Command the blessing. Send thy own Holy Ghost anointed servants to them with a thus saith the Lord. And let thy work appear. May the poor of the flock feed. Oh, may there be a little gleaning. Lord, those handfuls of purpose, thou who art the heavenly Boaz, to send as thou to send thy servants to them. May they be kept in the fear of God, kept alive and kept in need and kept poor at the throne of grace as a church and people. Add unto them such as shall be saved. Let it be the Lord's work here. And at home among us there, and to the hills of Zion, the twos or threes. Bless office bearers. Give them the fear of the Lord. Give them understanding. Lord, may they truly indeed be in samples to the flock and lean hard and heavily upon the full needed wisdom and understanding and strength and perseverance. Give them a gracious firmness, and yet at the same time, give them, Lord, that spirit of prayer, that they may be much exercised. May they remember they must give an account of their office, as the minister here tonight must. Oh, we do need such a preparation. We feel we need such a washing away of the sins of our holy things, Lord, our preaching, our public ministry, and oh, even our private prayers and exercise, we live to prove sin is mixed with all we do. But Lord, thou canst do that. Blessed be God, which man cannot do. Oh, thou hast all power, all authority. Oh, we pray then, thou command the blessing tonight and cast out Satan. Lord, remember our young friends, be mindful of them, what a world they live in. We tremble for them. We live to see, Lord, we hardly realise. Bless them. Oh, may they shelter. May they know that heavenly call. Oh, remember all among us, afflicted friends and ageing friends and widows or widowers, Lord, each in various needs. Those, Lord, who are not able to come out now as they used to, visit them in the evening time of life with thy great salvation. Pray for all in trouble and some of thy servants laid aside. We pray for them and many of thy people in various distressing things. Lord, we pray for each. Our aged friend Mrs. Cooper at Fen Stanton, we hear, Lord, in much weakness and lying prostrate in mercy, to visit her and grant her that consolation, Lord, that no doubt she longs for and has tasted, does know, by thy tender mercy to in the past, and thou changest not. O Lord, if it is the appointed time drawing near, grant her the abundant entrance. But Lord, we know not the time, but thou dost know. Be gracious to her in a very special way. Many friends. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies, the goodly rains thou hast given the last weeks. And I pray that these things may work for another harvest in thy covenant faithfulness. Well, we would desire to be truly thankful. Thou hast been a good God these many years. And thou who changest not, abide with us still. And be with us to the end. We do need such a preparation for our end. Oh, we seem to need such a forgiveness as we journey on. An increasing sense, oh, to win Christ. And to be found in him. We bless thee where any among us have known thy great forgiveness, a wonderful thing. And we believe, Lord, that though the word may be tried and clouds may come between the soul and God, yet, Lord, that is engraved forever. Blessed be thy name. But, oh, we do need another token, another visit. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. Forgive all sins and backslidings and hardness of heart and prayerlessness. Oh, we're worms of the earth. But we would beg, oh, we beg this. May we be among that people whom thou dost denominate as worm Jacob. We would value such a sacred privilege, such a high calling. Oh, we would be a worm Jacob. Bring us into the kingdom, Lord, and speak the healing word. Pardon our mighty sins. Do us good now. Anything or any particular person we should have prayed for in weakness we may have omitted, and as the cases of the friends here, oh, do pardon the weakness and make up in giving anything we may have asked wrongly. Oh, do blot it out. Be with us now in all the unknown way as we venture on into another year. Lord, we need thee. Compass around about with thy mercy and for everlasting light and guide and saviour. Lord, bring us safely through. Safely through life, redeem us out of all evil, safely through death and home to God. We beg, we plead thy precious name for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 998. Ye prisoners of hope, o'erwhelmed with grief, to Jesus look up for certain relief. There's no condemnation in Jesus the Lord, but strong consolation his grace does afford. 998.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and to verse 29. John chapter 6 and to verse 29. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." This is the reply of Emmanuel to those Jews who said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Very solemnly, so many of them just had a natural inquiry out of their religious tradition, as they lived by the works of the law. We can see that the close many turned back and walked no more with him. The Lord here speaks his answer of the wonders of grace. God visiting a sinner. Yes, that heavenly call from above. Being born again, we read in chapter 3, "Ye must be born again, ye must be born from above." And that has a divine stamp, a distinguishing mark, a unique and blessed experience. A man is quickened into life by God himself. And where there is that quickening, there will be inquiry. A real sense of vital need. Then there is the beginning of asking the way to Zion with the face to the ward. Obviously, maybe some of these men were godly men. Many turn back. They were particularly offended at eating and drinking him. That he spoke himself as being the bread of God. And that eating him, they would live forever. They ate him, the bread of God, they'd never die. They lacked vital understanding. And why? Because, my dear friends, they were left to the hardness of their heart. We read in Moses something very solemn. I've often said this. It's very solemn to me. It was in my young days particularly. He will have mercy upon on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will he hardeneth. Not that God actually hardens men, but he leaves them in their hardness. And though the word may indeed enter into their ears and into their understanding, yet he leaves them to their hardness. There's no life, no quickening, no blessing, no salvation. Well, you know, as we journey now into another year, as you get old, you tremble more at the change of the year, and as the days pass swiftly through, oh, may Christ be our future. Are you exercised about that? The Lord to be your future. He says to his people going into captivity in Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I Think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to have an expected end. Ah, my soul, dost thou long that Christ should be your expected end? Have you an exercise? Is it an increasing concern to win Christ and to be found in him? Oh, you see, he alone is the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. We see Venus in the evening sky shortly after sunset at the present time in its circuits. The evening star, third bright object in the heavens. And in its circuits, it's often the morning star that comes, rises precursor to the sun, the brilliant light. May the Lord be our everlasting light. You see, he precurses indeed the dawning of a glorious day in his visitation to your soul. You get intimation in your troubled heart, yes, that the days of your mourning shall be ended, for thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Well, they ask this question, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Lord knows your questions here, this evening and today, and mine. Is there a cry from your heart? Lord, show me now thy way. Show me what I have to do. Every hour my strength renew. Are there hard questions in your soul about your sinnership, your hardness of heart and your wanderings? Are there solemn questions about your love of sin? Don't tell me you don't love sin. You're not a fallen son of Adam if you say you don't love sin, but you're deceived rather. Friends, we're worldly by nature. And the older we get, the more painful it becomes, and the more it's a solemn matter with us. How we live to prove that no man can keep alive his own soul. But you know, we read this, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now it's the Holy Ghost that stirs up the questions in your soul. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, we might say, as they did on Pentecost, what shall we do to be saved? Oh, how can I find mercy and salvation in God? It's often a stirring, desperate question, with some in their deep waters feeling so far off and so desperate about themselves. The Holy Ghost will not show you and I what sweet people we are and wonderful Christians, you know. Holy Ghost will show you and I how rotten we are to the core. And you'll long for the Lord's blessing. Want relief in your soul. Afflictions will bring us to realize how frail and wretched and helpless we are. Oh, God raises storms in the lives of his dear people here and brings them into soul trouble and fiery trials in their circumstances to bring them to cry to the Lord, sensible of their need to be covered and to be washed and to be prepared and to be made ready for the kingdom of heaven. Is it a question in your heart, Lord? Oh, what shall I do? Lord, show me thy way. Lord, speak the healing word. Guide me, Lord, and come and do something for my soul. Do you need to, Lord, do something for your soul here tonight? I'm not just speaking to an early seeker, you know. Some of those who have had to weather many storms in their pilgrimage over the years, oh, you still need the Lord to heal you and to bless you and to do something for you, don't you? My dear friend, the longer you live here as a trembling pilgrim, you'll need the Lord more and more. And his name being Jealous. Jealous of your heart. Why jealous? Because he loves his people. Therefore will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. He's jealous over their eternal safety and welfare. And he secured their salvation. They're complete in him. Therefore he's jealous that they should know him, desire him, long after him and win him. But they're wanderers. They're spiritual adulterers. They go after other gods and after other lovers. They soon settle down into a form. Oh, they soon, as it were, begin to feel reasonably pleased with themselves. Oh, they soon get entangled. Their feet soon wander, except kept and preserved. And they're humbled to know that they need to be kept too. They need to be preserved. Therefore, they know the plague and know its wanderings and feel their need of a divine shelter. But the point is this, isn't it? You see, as you look at this question and the answer, unfit. How can I be fit for the Lord's blessing? How can I make myself right with God? How can I really prepare myself to come to that great I am that I am? Now, the work of God alone in your heart will sweetly discover to you the glory and beauty of Emmanuel for a poor man that's polluted and lost and wretched and weary and can't do anything. You see, he speaks of a work. What shall we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? He answers in a very remarkable way. He doesn't talk to them about their work. He speaks of his work and their salvation. His work. This is the work of God, not yours. Mine. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. Notice the sacred doctrine here in this chapter, you see. When they were murmuring about the bread, verse 43, he says then in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day." Now, Kabbalists say, well, what's the point in preaching the gospel? There's every point, because it's pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And there will be a people on the earth who will believe in their very soul that Jesus is the Christ, and they long to know him and win him and be found in him. And they have to really cry after him. They hunger and thirst after his righteousness. It is written in the prophets, and he quotes from Isaiah 54, "And they shall be all taught of God." There in 54 it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Zion's children. All her children and her children will be taught of God, and what a great peace they will be brought to. Yes, a little by faith here, seeing through a glass darkly, but hereafter face to face. If this is a great question with your soul, it's the hereafter that is the vital exercise, isn't it? That's the vital act. Oh, to be prepared not to live on in this world, though the Lord will care for you right unto hoar hairs unto your dying moment. But oh, the great exercise is to be prepared for the kingdom of God. And so the Lord goes on, after quoting from Isaiah, "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And again we read later on, it's verse 65, "Therefore said unto you that no man can come unto me except were given unto him of my Father." And that rather sacred and beautiful truth he sets forth. Verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Where are you tonight? Are you a poor comer? Desperate about yourself, in need, and him. Now there's the gospel. Oh, he sets forth the sure foundation, the love of God, the electing love of God. And then he sets forth the work of God there. Yes, a coming sinner. And the divine promise flows from the surety who wept and bled and sweated and died at Calvary. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me are in no wise cast out." Not on any account, no wise. However black your sins, a Mary Magdalene or a dying thief, a self-righteous Pharisee like the Apostle Paul, oh my dear friends, a backslider like Peter, or like Solomon, or like David, "And him that cometh to me are in no wise cast out." And that is the work of God. So here is the answer of Emmanuel. This is the work of God. To such a question, it's not for us to judge the standing of those who ask the question. We know that some of them, and it would appear to be from the narrative, as far as we can judge, the majority of them, sadly and solemnly, they were offended as the doctrine became very searching, especially as it set forth their utter helplessness. And that strange matter of eating and drinking this man that was in front of them. They really did not recognize him. They did not know who he was. But I tell you who did. That poor woman with an afflicted daughter. Yes, she knew he was. And though he wouldn't answer her prayers immediately, though he put her down and discouraged her and placed her right in the dirt and the dust, you see, she filled her mouth with arguments, and that's the work of God. Because she knew in her soul who Christ was. Well, I must come to the text, and time passes on very quickly. So look, come to verse 29. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." I'll speak firstly then of this work in the soul. And this believing on him, which is the work of God in you. And lastly, the blessed pronunciation as Christ declared himself as the one sent from God. Friends, there's been one sent. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? I'll be honest with you, this text only came to me as I got to the chapel. I have another text on my mind, which I'll bring in just now, at this juncture. The man that was born blind. And his answer to the ridiculing Pharisees, because they said this man was a sinner that had healed him. And it seems that the poor man did not have a full understanding of who the healer was. Though Jesus met him later and said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is it that I might believe? He that talketh with thee." And so he believed and worshipped him. how we need the Holy Ghost to grant us some sweet manifestation to our souls, the infinite worth and value of the glorious eternal being of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who is co-equal with our most holy Father and co-equal with the Holy Ghost. Yet the man knew divine teaching and touch in his soul, but he was in a confused place. And the Lord, you know, the modern evangelical world, rather like this, you see, you believe and you know everything. It's all in sort of 5 minutes. Mind you, if the Holy Ghost reveals Christ to your soul, or Jesus smiles for a moment, so much will be sweetly performed in a moment. But that's different to that's merely in the intellect, isn't it? And it's like a fairy tale, isn't it? I mustn't be sarcastic, I know. It's only grace that makes us to differ. The Lord forbid if I say anything in a bad spirit, I don't intend to, but only as a warning. It's easy to grasp the truth in our head and never know the work in the heart. The work in the heart brings you more and more into need. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. The work of God in your heart will make you grow more than yourselves, you grow older. Eternity becomes even more solemn. In the dying day, when another confirmation of soul, your feet are upon that rock. You like many prayers against that day, but at the same time you don't deny the Lord's mercies and blessings to you. You daren't. And this man didn't, who I was going to speak from. Because the word was, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. But he didn't really perceive who Christ was when he said that to the Pharisees. But one thing he could say to them, oh, they could easily outwit him in religion, couldn't they, poor man? But he knew he had received sight. And where this work goes on, you'll know its work, because you'll need Christ. When Christ is made precious, and when he visits you, answers your poor prayers, and delivers you in your circumstances, and in your soul too, friend, you can't deny it. For to deny that will be to deny him. And a true child of God would tremble to do so. When Peter denied knowledge of him, he didn't really deny his existence. Just that his poor, weak sinnership. What a coward he was. If you were facing death, we'd need much grace to stand, wouldn't we, ourselves? We can't cast stones at Peter, my friend. Left to ourselves, we're just as weak. We've been prayed for. The elect have been prayed for. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Well, I must come on to this word. Verse 29. This is the work of God. It's the work in your soul. First, we must look briefly at the doctrine. It's alone the work of the Spirit of God, the work of the eternal Spirit in a man's soul that will save you. And you see in this work, he brings you to need this work more. You begin to know how foolish and empty and vain we are by nature. And we're lost. We're undone. We then begin to possess our sinnership, which isn't a small matter anymore, which we can quieten our conscience by Christianity and works and duties and so on. Ah, you want the Lord to bless you. Something I observe, it's this work that's opposed by Satan. Work in your head is never opposed by Satan. He encourages all along with flatteries. But the work in your heart, my dear friend, will be hated by the enemy. And he is a lying spirit. And he already has his throne in our nature, in our heart. He's already there. Therefore, when the stronger than Satan comes to cast out this usurper, father of lies, so he will fight back against God and try to destroy you. But you see, you can't, because the work of grace is invincible. And you're becoming more and more exercised and concerned to be right. But one or two things I must touch upon. So it is firstly in the doctrine, the Spirit's work alone. Therefore it's Christ that worketh in you. Because the Spirit will take of the things of Jesus and make them known. And he makes them known in showing us our need of them. You feel your need of washing and cleansing. You feel your own helplessness. You want reality. You can no longer, as it were, go on to enjoy pleasures and dying things as you could, though it's a grief. Now, this is the work of God. You'll be much grief-struck about yourself, you see. Because you're mourning your house apart over what you are by nature. Gatsby says, not all the wanderings of a heart can make his love from her depart. And then you will be grief-struck, you see. You'll have a real hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's the work of God, and you then begin to pray as you've never prayed before. Can you trace that out in your own soul's experience, friend? Maybe, under gracious influence of godly parents, and that's a good thing in its place, isn't it? Would to God there was much more of it in this modern age. You've been taught by godly parents to pray. And so maybe in earthly things and many things you did pray as you were taught. But when the Spirit began to blow, it changed, didn't it? You began to see there was only one that could really satisfy your soul. There's only one that could wash away your sins. Only one that could deliver you. Only one could arise for your help. This may have begun very gradually, here a little and there a little. It may have been somewhat suddenly, as the Lord suddenly arose. He may have blown with a storm into your life. You had to begin to pray as you never prayed before. See, the light sweeps away the refuge of lies. The work of God. Begin to exercise to long to know his will and to draw near to him and pour out your heart. You need a great salvation. You need a great salvation now, while you live here, that you may be safely gathered. You may not make shipwreck. The work of God. My dear friends, see, as we have read in this chapter, the drawing love of the Father. It's a drawing love of the Father. We read it three times, haven't we, in those verses? And Jesus says elsewhere in this gospel, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So you're drawn in a certain direction. See, it's the work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in you. In you. You know, this is when old things begin to pass away, and all things become new. Now, the meaning there isn't that there'll be no more sin in you while you live here. That's not the sense. That old sin will finally be dead when you die. The sense is, there will be now a beginning to live by faith in him who fills his Father's throne. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, these dark hearts, these evil hearts, he began to shine to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, a mighty Saviour. You begin to be exercised all to win that mighty Saviour. In this work, you see, at first we may be very mistaken. We may start bringing our own offerings. And oh, we may start trying to condition ourselves, as it were, to be worthy to be blessed and to get rid of our sins and to make ourselves fit and suitable for the kingdom of heaven, that we may then really be able to draw near to Emmanuel without being consumed. But you see, that's our exercise. And the Lord, as it were, so brings your soul into deeper trouble and deeper concern and bondage and darkness if there's not a look into him alone. And there can only be a look into him alone by what the Blessed Spirit testifies of him to your soul. You know, my friends, a man who fears the Lord may struggle for years to be right with God, to have the root. But like that man in chapter 9, you see the blind man. They see their sin, they see their need, but they don't really know the Blessed One who quickened them into life as yet. They cannot see light in it. Another man, indeed, he saw, was it men as trees walking? Or trees as men walking, I think it says. There can be confusion, you see. A cut and dried religion, it knows everything from the beginning. But you'll feel your need of more teaching. But I said earlier, what the Lord teaches you is engraved in your soul. And it's a light that can never go out. Thou art the Christ, the Blessed One. Now may the Lord bring all exercised souls here to the eternal rock. It's his work. And those who are not exercised by the Holy Ghost, may it please the Lord to, in mercy, quicken such into exercise, for we have a long, long eternity before. We're not prepared and come to the judgment day and not know who that Blessed One is. Dear friends, oh, how solemn to hear, I never knew you. You never ate me, you never drank me. You never drank me, you never wanted me really. You did your own offerings and your own religion, your own works and your own ways. I know you not. But he's promised those who really call upon him and seek him, they will be blessed, you know. They will know him. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. Now this is the work of God. You believe on him, he hath sent. But to come to this believing on him. Because it's more than a mere academic truth of who he is in the pure doctrine, which is a very sweet and sacred subject. It's this, that you see in him for sinners poor and sinners vile and sinners condemned and sinners wretched, for sinners who can't change their own heart, sinners who can do nothing, helpless, sinners who deserve the judgment of God. Do you sometimes confess to the Lord what you deserve from his hand? Just to say, Lord, it's of thy mercies I'm not consumed. Just to pray for his mercy. Been a help to me over the years, the word of the Psalm 38, I think, and is it 12? Or 6? Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, nor chase me in thy hot displeasure. For now stick fast in me. Lord convinces his people of their sins. He's often offended. Jesus is often offended with his people. Oh, they neglect him at the throne of grace. They entertain other gods and other lovers very often in their heart. Therefore they get a sense of his distance and his frown in their soul. They're in trouble. Because he's their living friend. He's dealing with them. And I was thinking this also, and this was on my thoughts meditation concerning the blind man. You know, one thing you'll know in your soul's experience is chastenings. I know this is not an attractive gospel I'm preaching, but it's very attractive to a man that knows trouble in his soul and his guilt. You know, he, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, that he correcteth. And the apostle goes on in following the theme from both the Psalm and the Proverbs. If we be without chastisement, then in evidence we're bastards and not sons. God is not our Father as a Saviour, the Father of our salvation by the Spirit of adoption. We're bastards. You'll know therefore corrections, but I see that time goes and I've not got where I want to. To come then to this believing on him. Dost thou believe, my dear friends, that for your sin there's only one great blessed offering? And that offering has been offered once at the end of the world. I think I've told you before here. Many years ago, Mr. Jesse Dales preached at a Thanksgiving service at Maidstone. And I couldn't get to the afternoon, I was at work, so I went into the evening service. And you know, he spoke from Hebrews 9. He spoke of Christ dying once for the ungodly, entering heaven once with his own blood. Now, it didn't mean anything to me, really. I just knew he was preaching the precious gospel, and that was it, as far as I was concerned. Because he saw no beauty or glory in that. I just hoped I'd repent and become a real Christian one day. Lord, in mercy, have compassion on me in my ignorance. But the point is, I knew in my soul he delighted in setting this forth. He seems though his soul seemed really softened and under a sweet sense of his own hope in that precious Jesus he preached that night. I remember clearly realising that I sat at the back of the chapel. And my soul, do you see a glory of beauty in him who died once for your sins? Oh, you say, my sins, my sins. That's the great question. What shall I do? My dear friends, may the Holy Ghost help me, because I have a sinnership that still troubles me. It's sometimes so strong. May the Holy Ghost help you to really plead unto him, with him, and pray unto him, in whom you believe to be the eternal Son of God, the Saviour of God, and plead his offering in your poor prayers. Plead his offering once. And believing, my friend, by the Holy Ghost will enable you eventually to lay hold upon that. Lord, blessed comforter, you know, he comforts the church. The Lord said, it's expedient I should go away, that another comforter might come. And you know, he'd gone away. He was to go away now. They'd see him no more with the natural eye. But he'd send the Holy Ghost to fill their hearts with a peculiar peace and joy. The apostle describes it in Romans, you now have joy and peace in believing. Yes, as the Holy Ghost makes Christ precious, it is offering for sin. Him on backsliding says this, I often quote this at the Lord's Supper, the blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin, doubt it not, and reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. My dear friends, where you are is not where I am. And you know where you are. Maybe darkness, maybe fresh contracted guilt, maybe rather like a blind man confused about things, yet you know there's one who alone can save you. You know that you've been brought into exercise and yet somehow you can't make any further headway. You're a poor man. Maybe you've been in a path of backsliding. Maybe. Yes, you've been awakened to where you are, outside the kingdom of heaven, and you feel lost in your soul. Well, maybe you're in a heavy trial, a solemn heavy trial. And this heavy trial doesn't find you very spiritually minded. And how can the Lord shine upon you and help you? How can he come to such a sinner like you? Maybe after you've made many years of profession now, and you're not much farther on the way yet, and you wonder how the Lord can have any more to do with you. May we confess our sins. Confess your sins, my friend. And confess your sins, the Lord Jesus, but plead his merit, the merit of that offering. Venture to plead it. I could take the spot in Maystone now, my early days of exercise, walking home from work. I ventured the first time in my life to try and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus, because that had been some of the theme on the Lord's Day previous. And the enemy stopped me with this powerful whisper. If a sinner like you begins to plead that holy blood, you're polluted and your sin will be unforgivable. You don't pollute that blood. And I felt so wretched. I know it was Satan, but I didn't see it then, you see. There's a gripping fear and the power of the enemy, a liar, stopped me in my track. But blessed be God, it was but for a season. Oh, the day came when I knew that the foulest, most stinking, wretched worm of the earth, in confessing and coming to Christ, he could never pollute that blood. Such is its efficacy, its virtue, its merit, its power. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful to his promise. And he's just. And I do like to express this. I know I've just mentioned this here before, but he's just. God is holy. He can only do a holy and a righteous thing. And it's holy and righteous with him to forgive the chief of sinners. And my friends, on a just and holy, honourable settlement, which is to his own glory, he gave his son to bleed and to die, to be a real man, both body and soul, to be a true son of man, as he's the true son of God. Remember that. If we derogate the glory of his sacred humanity, we can easily derogate the glory of his sacred divinity. We don't understand the mystery of the God-man, but he's truly the Son of Man, which is now in heaven. And he poured out his soul unto death. And yet he's the eternal Son of God. Yes, never created, from everlasting to everlasting. Yea, he's the glory of heaven, my friends, as he sits upon the throne. And no man can see God at any time, except they see the Lord Jesus. The only one that's ever seen God, the only man that's ever really seen God face to face, well, is the Lord Jesus himself. For he was with him before time began. He was with his Father, with the Holy Ghost, in that triune divine essence which we don't understand. No three gods, no three divines, but one blessed, eternal, vast, holy being. Eternally subsisting in three co-equal and divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The fullness of time, that blessed one, and what a mystery, was born of the Virgin by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing conceived and came a little child, a defenseless babe, to be held up by Mary. And to suck at her breast and to need the loving care, warmth and protection who has believed our report. There is God's lamb. There is God's fellow. And heart, I think it's heart, puts it, he upheld the world while Mary upheld him. You ponder that. Who believed our report? The modern world is a world of scoffing. If you know your need of being reconciled to God here tonight, may you plead that truth. Who was dead is alive forevermore and liveth after the power of an endless life. For God hath raised him from the dead and set him on a plead that great sacrifice, poor sinner. Doth thou believe on the Son of God? Yes, in this way. You see, we need our sins to be pardoned. And they're pardoned through Jesus Christ our Lord. The merit of that offering wash away all sin. But there's a merit in his life for you. He alone, as the only man here, ever really loved God with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his body. I've sometimes put it at home this way. I hope you understand how I put it, but I really mean it. In every breath he breathed, in every thought, in his holy being, every step he took, every word he spoke, in all his pure motives, in all his holy life, he served and loved God spotless without sin. And he was made under the law, and he honoured that law. Read Isaiah 42. Thus magnified the Lord and made it honourable. He was well preached his righteousness' sake. Thus magnified the Lord and made it honourable. He alone lived the righteous life. And my dear friends, even further than this, they mocked him and said he trusted in God. And he did. They mocked him at that when he was at Calvary. And the apostle Paul opens this up in his writing to the Hebrews as he poured out his soul unto death. Oh, I do not believe there was any division in the Godhead as he died and his Father hid his face from him, but the Holy Suffering knew in his own soul. As the psalmist says in Psalm 22, reproach hath broken my heart. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why thou so far from my roaring? David says in Psalm 22. But the apostle tells us, doesn't he, something that you'll know about in your own soul's experience in a limited measure. Jesus knew it in the full measure. But you'll know it as you are called to live by faith and trust in him. But where we read, if I can just find it here, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him. What, Emmanuel, strong crying and tears, supplications? Yes. Now notice this holy terminology. Unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, margin for his piety. God heard him. The terminology is such, you see, it shows us that Emmanuel had to pour out his soul, not only unto death in being made a curse for us, he had to earnestly entreat God to come safely through. Though he lived after the power of an endless life, even as he, in his sacred humanity, lived here, he was Almighty God. But you see, because he learned obedience to be a merciful high priest. He knows your desperate case and your need. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. You believe on him. And he's sent to be the propitiation, and my friends, to be your saviour. Ah, Christ the Lord. Our time is almost gone. I haven't really got anywhere yet. But we read this, don't we? You see, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And you see, as he suffered, an angel appeared and strengthened him. Christ needing an angel? Surely not. Friends, every work of God is perfect. And every word of God is pure. So the pure word tells us of God's perfect work. Such was the agony of Christ. He needed help from heaven. For an angel would not have come otherwise. Never view it as an angel helping Almighty God. View it this way. An angel helped that holy sufferer, for your sins are so great, and so are mine. We need such a salvation, such a salvation. It's 25 past, I haven't started yet, and I've got to close, oh dear. This is the work of the believer. Look to him, plead with him, wrestle with him, press toward his throne of grace. That opening hymn you see to Jesus, thou art bound, a crowd about thee will be found. There'll be many crowds, sins, unbelief. Lo, here is Christ, lo, there is Christ. The voices of the enemy of souls, and he's trying to confuse your mind. Let thine eyes look right on thine eyelids straight before thee, to that throne of grace where sits the Saviour, crowned with light, clothed in a body like our own. Just briefly, I don't like being brief, but of course time is now so limited, only 5 minutes to the half past. Believe on him whom he has sent in this, your circumstances here tonight. My circumstances. We look back over our life. Nothing but tender mercies. But nothing but, oh, confusion and follies and mistakes and ignorance and sins with us. Perhaps some of you don't understand what I mean, but I think some will. All we can trace out is the long-suffering, tender mercy of God to us while we live here. Ah, the deacon at Stainsill said to me on the Lord's Day, what would we do if we haven't got that precious blood to plead? And he said, precious blood. My friends, what would we do? What could you do tonight? Ah, but casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Tell the Lord all your case. Trust in him, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. And in that believing, it's, my friends, a real believing he's the blessed one. And what his word has declared shall stand forever. If he says you'll never send any away that come to him, he will not. If he says, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he will give such labouring sinners rest for their souls. Oh, and I will give you rest. Well, may we wait upon our God continually. But I must be brief. There's so much here, well, concerning as we venture another year. May we be helped to cry after him in whom we believe and commit our way and ask him to be with us and to prepare us. Tell the Lord your weakness, how defenceless you are. Oh, you need his mercy. Tell him you need him formed in your heart, the hope of glory. You need saving this year. We shall need some saving, won't we? Ah, as we needed saving in the past, we'll need it to our dying day. Much saving in that great salvation. Now, I know I can't come to the third point because of time. And we have sent. May the Holy Spirit give such a sense and a sight to us in our soul, you may adore the one sent from God. Sent. The sinner's friend. The refuge, the one who has redeemed you to God and who is your heavenly bridegroom, the bridegroom of your soul. If you're to sit down at his marriage, he'll make himself known to you that you'll long to be married to him, to be with him. And in this, over the years, he will gradually wean you from all your earthly things, even your nearest and dearest. We have to pray that our dear ones may love the Lord more than they love myself, and myself also to love God more than I love my dear one. My dear friends, that's not an easy thing, is it? We're so earthbound, at least I am, poor man that I am. But I need a work that I can't do, and so do you. There's only one that can prepare you and I. Only one can make us ready to depart, to leave this world. Well, what does the scripture show us in these precious gospels? These poor sinners crying after the Lord Jesus. If you believe in him whom we have sent, you'll cry after him, won't you? You'll have to keep coming to him. And oh, you have to keep confessing to him and reverently filling your mouth with arguments. Jacob said, didn't he? What a remarkable night that was for poor Jacob. Hunted, yet guilty. Yes, his brother was come with vengeance. Now, he knew one alone who would justify him, because he'd already been had that promise laid to his soul that in his seed will the families of the earth be blessed, meaning he would be saved in his seed that would eventually come. And he made a promise he'd be with him all places, where he would go. But you see, the word is tried, isn't it? The word of God to your soul is tried in the experiences you journey on. You may look back over some sweet times when the Lord has made his word known to you and his counsel known to you. The day comes when it is tried, you see. Well, he divided his company, did all the right things to do, which is the right thing to do, sensible, intelligent things. He divided his company, sent presents. But that wouldn't save him, would it? And he knew it too. He had the root in his soul, didn't he? He sent his family over and he was alone with God. And that's where you want to be at times, if you're a true believer. Want to be alone with God. And tell him all. So the poor man pleads the promises. What God has said to Abraham, his grandfather and his father. What God has said to him. And a man appeared and wrestled with him. Didn't see him. He hadn't come in his that humanity that was to be prepared in the virgin's womb. But he came as an appearance, you see. But he felt him but couldn't see him. And he wrestled and he weakened Jacob. And he weakened you in your exercises and in your troubles, isn't he? Your thighs put out of joint. It's painful to wrestle in prayer to God at times, isn't it? Especially with guilt on your conscience. Oh, poor men that we are. But you see, his coming to wrestle strengthened him to wrestle. They weakened his strength in the way. And you know, he changed his name there and blessed him. But what I want to come to is this, and I must close. Jacob asked after his name. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. I cannot be seen. My time is not yet. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And then finally asked, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Tell me who thou art. I want to know thee. I want to know thee, Lord. Wherefore is it that ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And you who are asking after his name, poor, needy, sinful, weak and helpless, may you and I be favoured to know what Jacob knew a little that precious night. We may not let ourselves to bless us in our askings and seekings. Yeah. So I'll not let thee go, Lord. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. O Lord, do not turn away thy face. May we plead Christ, for he's the faithful and true witness of a God that cannot lie, the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. May arise with healing in his wings and show us his way, for his blessed feet bring us safely through. And oh, wonder of wonders, to carry us safely through death and home to God. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, bless that which has been true, and of the Holy Ghost. Or may there be some savour remain with our heart that has been of the savour of the Spirit. Please pardon anything spoken wrongly, Lord. Please may the friends forgive for going over time. Lord Jesus, do show us thy salvation. Now do grant us safe journeys home. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our High Priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. 120.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.